I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do all your storm clouds have a silver lining?
No.
I like your honesty, brother. Yeah.
They know.
I know I shouldn't be surprised, but I find myself often surprised by life storms. I'm imperfect, living in a perfect world with other imperfect people. So we know storms are going to happen, but inevitably, I think sometimes we're surprised. And it's all right there in our manual. The Bible tells us storms are going to happen. 1 Peter 4:12, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Even Jesus, he says, not to expect smooth sailing with him. John 16:33, he says this, he tells his disciples, he tells his followers, in this life you will have trouble. And I think really we're only surprised when we have unrealistic expectations. I think it's easy to think that storms are for those other people. You know, people that don't have Jesus in their boat, right? Wrong. Storms aren't selective. They happen to all of us. Storms don't care if you're young or old, from a good home or a bad home. Storms don't care if you haven't missed church since the 90s. And what can happen is we can fall into this trap called vending machine theology. I put my money in the machine. I do the right thing, say the right words, push the right buttons, and something good magically appears. And although something good always appears, the truth is that God's definition of good is different than ours. Oftentimes, good comes from places we wouldn't expect, like the storm here that I'm going to read about. Mark 4:35 through 41. That day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care if we drown? Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And terrified, they looked at each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey this guy. Now, Jesus had been on the road with his disciples for quite some time. And day after day, month after month, these guys had a front row seat to what Jesus was doing. They listened to him preach. They watched him perform miracles. The impossible happened. Lame walked and the sick were healed. They watched Jesus perform miracles over and over and over. So why did they ask, Who is this? After all they've seen. And like us, they seem to be filled with great faith one minute and great doubt the next. So Jesus brought his friends to this place where I believe he could test their mettle by turning up the heat. I don't know if you've ever seen precious metal melt, but I once got to watch my wife Erica make a silver ring. So she took all these old tarnished rings and put them in this extremely hot furnace. And once the temperature got to about 1700 degrees, they all melted and became one. And what happened is all the impurities or all the junk floated to the surface of the silver. Everything that was unusable, all that stuff you don't want, it was now visible with the intention of getting separated from the good stuff. And Jesus tells us He'll do the same. For you, God, you tested us. You refined us like silver. James even says, it's a tough one, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When Jesus wants to remove impurities, he often uses some extreme heat, doesn't he? We can go to church Sunday after Sunday. We can listen. We can nod our heads. We can get all tingly. But the real question is, what are we going to do when the storm hits? There's two things. We can either trust Jesus, or we can say, like the disciples, man, it is game over. In verse 38 of our passage, Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. And in a panic, right, these guys woke Jesus up and they said, teacher, do you not care if we drown? Even after all the miracles, after all the impossible was made possible, after all they heard Jesus say, all the head nodding, this storm brought some impurities to the surface. So Jesus asked these guys, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith after everything you've seen? In other words, what else do I have to show you for you to trust me? What else do you need? And they assumed Jesus didn't care, didn't they? Since they assumed he didn't care, they couldn't do anything about the weather. They did the best thing that they knew how to do. They worried. And that's what we do. I have no control over my circumstance in this moment. I'm going to do something. I think it's time to worry. But the worry wasn't weird, was it? Totally normal, totally natural in that. Big waves, big wind, boats filling up with water. We're all going to die. Absolutely normal to worry. It would be weird not to worry in this. But worry is an attempt to control, again, when we have none. And worry is really a repackaged fear. God knew this is going to be a challenge for us. God knows this is a daily battle because one of his most frequent commands, reminders to us in his word, involves not falling into fear. Let me read a couple right now. Isaiah 59:1. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is ear too deaf to hear you. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. 1 Peter 5:7, I love this one. Cast all your anxiety on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. And over, we see these reminders in God's word because he knows this is a daily battle. And we're given these reminders because it's easy to develop what I call spiritual amnesia. We're filled with great faith one minute and great doubt the next. Fear comes in and feeds doubt. But here's the reality. If Jesus took care of yesterday, why are we so quick to forget that he'll take care of tomorrow? He hasn't changed. He is unchanging. He hasn't gone anywhere. What does it say right back here? Hebrews 13:8. He, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's an unchanging promise. When the disciples cry for help, they called Jesus teacher. Interesting. Man, why teacher? Was that the first name that came to mind? Did they really believe that's all he is after all they saw? I'm not sure how long the storm raged, but it was long enough for Jesus to go, all right, guys, you've seen enough. You've learned your lesson. But it was long enough for these guys to pee their tunics, wasn't it? Absolutely. That's okay. We all pee our tunics from now and then, time to time. And at the sound of Jesus' voice, quiet, be still, the storm instantly gone, as if it never happened, gone. guys were terrified. Looked at each other, looked back and forth. You can almost imagine their jaws dropped. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey this guy. Whoa. Maybe he's more than just a teacher after all. Maybe this guy's more than a carpenter from Nazareth. Maybe it's the Messiah, the Savior. Maybe this is the one we've been waiting for. This morning, I want to tell you, if you believe that Jesus is simply a teacher or one of the many paths to heaven, I want to tell you that when storms come, the house that you've built on sand will be gone faster than it was built. But if Jesus is your king, you can trust that he's in control. If Jesus is your provider, then you know he's got it. And this morning, if Jesus is your savior, we're going to praise God because the storm is not the end of the story.
That's
right. Got some sobering news. At the end of our earthly lives, each one of us will stand before Jesus and he's going to know, who am I to you? Jesus is not going to ask me, well, tell me, Aaron, did your grandma know me? My grandma does know Jesus, by the way. And she's here this morning, by the way, so, yeah. Actually, grandma told me about Jesus 40 years ago. Jesus is not going to say, tell me, Aaron, did your neighbors love me? No. Just like Jesus asked right before he went to the cross, I know who those other people say I am. I know what they say about me. What do you say? Who do you say I am? With every storm that comes our way, we get to answer or re-answer that same question, don't we? We can either believe that Jesus really is the one true King, the Savior, or we can assume, since we don't really understand the storm, this must be the end, because I don't get it. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. It's easy to believe this lie that if Jesus really cared, he would spare me from the discomfort, the sorrow, the pain of this life, right? If he really cared, it would be easy. Here's what Jesus isn't concerned about. Jesus was not concerned about the comfort of his friends out on the water. He wasn't fluffing their pillows. He wasn't asking if they're enjoying their sunset cruise out on the lake. He wasn't putting pink umbrellas in their drinks. None of that was happening. Jesus was concerned about the impurities in their hearts. I have some more bad news. If you're looking for easy, it's not Jesus. Jesus is more concerned about your heart than your circumstances. He loves you. He cares for you. He promises to take care of you. But he's more concerned about this right here. That's what he really wants. A few years ago, I did a celebration of life for a baby boy who lived 99 minutes. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. This young couple from our church, Kenan and Tanya, trying to have their first son. They had a little daughter. Now they wanted a son. And they had a son. But they only had him for 99 minutes. For 99 minutes, they took turns back and forth, taking pictures with their little boy. His name was Bo. Until he took his last breath. The doctors had prepared the family because they knew some complications were happening and they knew he may not live long outside of the womb. The family prepared their hearts for a storm. But you know there are some storms you can't fully prepare for. It didn't make sense. They were a young, beautiful couple. Grew up in the church. She grew up in the youth group. Knew Jesus. They did and said all the right things. They wanted a son more than anything. They had a son. They didn't get to bring him home. Why that storm? I don't know. I sat with him for weeks, over a period of a few months, talking and praying and shed tears. Amazingly, this couple, day after day after day, they continued to trust Jesus. They trusted that Jesus would carry them to the other side of the storm, that the storm was not the end. We praise God today because they now have three kids, including a healthy young son. Yeah, we can clap for that. That's cool. Yeah. So perfectly normal questions to ask in the storm, right? Why me? Why this? Doesn't make sense. I put my money in the vending machine. Why didn't something good appear? And the better question isn't why. The better question is what? What are you up to in the storm, Jesus? What sort of good do you have in mind? Not sort of what good do I have in mind. What's your good? I was a part of a recovery ministry for a few years, and I was always amazed at the storms that God would use to get the attention of his most hard-hearted kids. The people that would run, the Jonas, people had to touch the hot stove a few times. For some, it was multiple DUIs. For others, it was jail time. For others, it was losing their marriage, their family, their jobs. For somebody who was waking up in their car and they had no idea how they got there. But they walked into that recovery ministry and maybe heard about Jesus for the first time. Because the truth is, God uses whatever he needs to get our attention, doesn't he? He'll spare no expense to get our attention. He cares about this. Jesus could calm any of our storms in an instant. Any of them, gone. Quiet, be still. He doesn't do that, does he? Even when we pray for that, he doesn't always do that. What if he's got something else in mind? What if God is using that storm that so you'd walk through those front doors this morning? What if God is using a storm to reveal that Jesus has been in your boat this whole time? I just didn't see him. And what if your storm is what God uses so you can look someone else in the eyes and say, I understand. Let me tell you about the storm that Jesus brought me through. Do you see how God can turn any storm upside down? And here's the best part. God promises there's going to be a day when all storms are going to end. Amen?
Amen.
For those who put their trust in Jesus, storms have an expiration date. It's an eternity with him. Unfortunately, we're going to have storms in this life. Just like Jesus did out on the water, we're going to hear his voice. We're going to hear the trumpet. He's going to say, quiet, be still. And instant, God's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things have passed away. Gone, done, quiet, be still. And until then, I guess God's got some storms in mind, huh? But the only answer is to put your trust in Jesus. He's listening. I want to tell you that he sees you. He knows you. He cares for you. He hears your cry. He's not sleeping. He knows every bit of it. And he promises to bring you to the other side. I want to tell you this morning that with Jesus, all storm clouds have a silver lining. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we worship you, and because you are good, so are your plans. Holy Spirit, for those who may be in the middle of a storm, even this morning, we're asked for your promised peace on our hearts, God. Lord Jesus, together we declare that you love us, you care for us, you're with us. Lord, we cast our worries at your feet, knowing you're going to carry our burdens. Name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.